Good morning, all y'all.
Good morning.
I missed you. Did you know I was gone?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Rick. Thanks, Karen. Thanks to the band. Did you see your present? You're so welcome. I want to thank everyone who was part of the service last week while I was visiting my mom and my family in Tennessee. Like you, I had a wonderful time. Inspiration and connection and being with loved ones. So today we'll continue our November theme, A Rich Harvest of Blessings. Oh, October. She was in May. I'm in November. Wait. Okay. Whew. It's October, y'all. So Reverend Donna's message and their story and the music and the prayer and the reading and the potluck and the connections, all of it is a rich harvest of our blessings. So there's a sweet idea that I have often attributed to the Talmud, which I have now discovered is not true. But it is a very sweet idea. Every blade of grass has its angel that bends over it and whispers, grow, grow. I love that. And whether you call that presence an angel, a God whisper, the divine elbow, or something else, we have likely each felt it. And likely it was in the way that was perfect for us, even when it was a loud and insistent, grow, darn it, grow. I felt that. Ernest Holmes once said, there is one spirit incarnated in everyone, an immortal presence forever expanding everything, causing everything to grow. There is one spirit incarnated in everyone. It is an immortal presence. It is forever expanding everything, causing everything to grow. So I think we can just take a deep breath and relax and know that God's got this. We're growing. We see it in nature. A peach tree, plus all of the fruit it will ever yield, is present in the original seed. Can you imagine that this is also true of us? That we each have the blessings and the gifts and the good to nurture and develop and share already within us. Who we desire to be is already who we are. All of the love and the beauty and the joy and the creativity, even the patience, is already within us. Life seems to be about discovering how that divine potential lives in us and then finding our unique way to express it. So they say growth can be hard. We know it often is. But what makes it hard? There's a story about the employees of a large company. They returned from their lunch break and they were greeted with a sign on the front door. And the sign said, yesterday, the person who has been hindering your growth in this company passed away. We invite you to join the memorial in the room that has been prepared in the gym. At first, everyone was sad to hear that one of their colleagues died, but after a while, they started getting curious about who this person might be. Who's the one that has been hindering my growth? Who is this person? Well, at least they're no longer here. One by one, the employees trailed into the room and went up to pay their last respects, and they looked down, and what they saw was, you can guess it, it was a mirror. It was a mirror. And the sign beside it said, there is only one person who is capable of setting limits to your growth, and it is you. Our work here is done. Each of us has a version of this story. It's called personal growth for a reason. Our growth, it's inevitable, I believe. And what limits it is our own interference. Tough. It might look like denial, might look like resistance or insistence. It might look like withdrawing. It might look like false humility or pride. It can look all kinds of ways. Our question upon ourselves is, am I hindering my growth or am I allowing it? We don't actually have to do it, right? But we can allow the movement of the Holy Spirit to have its way. We can allow the inspiration and the creativity and the joy and the love to have its way. It might have been in a workshop. It might have been in a class or a book or a podcast. But we have very likely each heard it. If it's to be, it's up to me. I think I made a plaque for my kids that said that. And no one lives our life for us. And every experience is ours alone. And if we don't like it, we need only look in the mirror. Yeah? I get it. I've said it. I said it very recently. We did a song about it. Here's the thing. I'm also very aware that we are connected. And not just in that, oh, it feels good, we are one song that we like to sing. We're connected in an undeniable way, and it can be both thrilling, it can be terrifying. We don't grow without each other. I'm not saying I can make you grow. I'm not saying we can make each other grow. But it's in the ways that we interact with each other that we experience and grow into our divine potential. The idea that we prove our worthiness by being better than someone else, that's just not working. And can we actually consider that two things can be true at the same time? My life is a reflection of me, yours of you, and your good is my good. Your prayer is my prayer. Your life and my life are one life. What if in order to grow into our divine potential, the secret is to love and nurture and care for each other? All right. Who has felt loved, nurtured, cared for in the last, let's give it a decade? Get out more. Honestly, I felt it last week. I was in Tennessee. I know y'all were praying for me. I felt it. I felt it. I knew it. I knew it in my heart, and I knew it. It made a difference. Who here has had an experience of someone reaching out to them and helping them in a moment of need? Every single person, whether we acknowledge it or not. What if we are here to share what we have in common, not to minimize our individual light and inspiration, but to enhance it and to give it a way and a place to be expressed? What if our greatest harvest is to embrace our divinity? To nurture and develop and care for and share the unique and precious gift that is both me and you, that is us. We're here to share it. It, the capital IT, it, that it. We're here to share it. That divinity that lives within us, it's uniquely expressing as us. And what are the many names that we have for it? I call it love. I call it joy. I call it beauty, peace. What else? Oh, y'all want to have a name for it. You want to know how it lives in you. Passion. What a compassion. What else is it? Joy and harmony and beauty and creativity. Inspiration, wholeness, courage, peace. Oh, unity, yeah. Abundance. Oh, that's God. That's in us. We're the vessel, the vehicle, the portal through which it is being made known. And our allowing that, that's what grows us. I know we take classes. I like classes. It's really great. But it's the work that we do in the class that grows us. It's the connection that we share that grows us. What if the very best way to grow is to know through our divinity, to know our divinity through expressing our humanity? Let me give it to you again. What if the very best way to grow is to know our divinity through, by means of, expressing our humanity with each other? I think it was Nelson Mandela who said, the best way to find oneself is to lose oneself in service to another. What if that service to one another could be seen as a gift? Even when it's wrapped in really messy wrapping paper. You know what I mean by that, right? The thing is we learn not just from each other, but with each other. We grow together through experiencing life together. We've grown together. Not because she tells me what to do and how to be a better person, but because by being together, I am a better person. We've grown together. He does tell me how to be a better person. And I listen. Sometimes the wrapping paper is not so lovely as a bestie or a beloved. Sometimes it's a hard moment. Sometimes it's a relationship that's just not working. Sometimes it's this condition or this situation in our life, and that's when we need each other. It's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy, and yet I think it is the most natural thing to do, to sit down and breathe together, to allow ourselves to be loved and supported, because it isn't just about us being there for someone else. It's about allowing others to be here for us. We don't always have to do it on our own. We don't always have to be the strong one. We don't always have to live by that. If it's to be, it's up to me. What if there's this power and this presence, this angel, this divine presence that's right there with us? We are all probably familiar with the poem by Portia Nelson. You'll remember it. As I was about to pass it over, I realized it was a great illustration of growth. I walked down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It wasn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. Sound familiar? I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there, but I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street, and there is a deep hole in the sidewalk. And I walk around it, and I walk down another street. So here's the thing. Here's why I wanted to bring this forward. It isn't always a physical street. When my mind is wandering down that path and I know where I am, I can see the hole. You know which hole it is for me? Sometimes it's doubt, sometimes it's pity, sometimes it's judgment, sometimes it's criticism. It is my own personal hell. And I fall into it and there I am, I'm trapped. And who fell into it? Me, all by myself. Nobody pushed her. So here's my challenge to us, because we all have our own personal hole. We all do. And we all have our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to notice where it is, to notice when we're on that path, to notice, oh, there it is, and to choose another way. Have we not been trained in this? Have we not heard that change your thinking, change your life? Have we not heard that we can at any moment choose another thought and go down another path in our thinking? So when we're finding ourselves in judgment for someone, that's another hole that we could possibly avoid falling into. Picking up what I'm putting down? Yeah. Judgment of ourselves or another. You know, sometimes we find ourselves on the same path in the same doorway, exploring the same experiences in life together. Sometimes we're going down that path with a couple of friends. You ever been there? You know, sometimes it's really fun to get some people along. Yeah, let's go that way. Someone in the group has to say, hey, maybe we'll go another way. Or maybe we just simply peel off and go our own way. My prayer is that we understand and embrace the idea that our divinity is our greatest harvest. My prayer is that we honor and we love ourselves so much that we freely and generously share the light of God that is within us. My prayer is that we also do that thing that comes naturally and instinctively, and that is to nurture and care for and support the unique and precious gift of each other. Another favorite Sufi poet is Hafiz. He wrote, "We are the guardians of beauty. We are the protectors of the sun. There's only one reason we have followed God into this world: to encourage laughter, freedom, dance, and love. We are the companions of God's beauty, the guardians of truth. Every man, plant, and creature in existence, every woman, child, and note is a servant of our beloved, a harbinger of joy and light." That's us. That is our blessing that we get to harvest and share generously, intentionally. We are growing together. We're reminding each other of the divinity that is within each of us. Every time we look at someone and we greet them and we say hello to them, or we sit beside them, or we cry with them, or we laugh with them, or we simply just be and breathe together. Yeah. We're growing. Let's each be that angel leaning towards each other, whispering, "You got this. You're not alone. You're loved." That's ours to do. Let's be that, yes? And grow together. And so it is. Alan Dale.